Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. 300.
I'm introducing a bill to bring marriage equality to the state of New York. This is a civil rights issue.
You know what? I think that I believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman. No offense to anybody out there, but that's how I was raised, and that's how I think that it should be between a man and a woman. Thank you.
Gee, well, why don't we blame Winston Churchill and FDR for focusing too narrowly on defeating the Nazis to the neglect of other issues?
Mormon bosoms burn at a higher centigrade than non-Mormon bosoms.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
It's definitely big business, and it's definitely a burgeoning area for, well, what can medicine do for you? If you were childless 35 years ago, you were just childless. But now, through what is appears to lay people like me, the miracle of in vitro fertilization, people who were childless can now have children of their very own. But there's a downside to in vitro fertilization. As a pro-lifer, I didn't realize the downside until it was too late. They're calling them spare embryos, and they're calling for embryonic stem cell research federally funded on these spare embryos. We're going to be talking about in vitro fertilization here for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Monday afternoon, April the 20th. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. After our conversation with Dr. Gene Rudd of the Christian Medical Association, we'll begin audio open lines. I want to know, if you tend to align more with the Republican Party, if the GOP changes its position on gay marriage, some say it should, will you give up the party? Is this a deal breaker for you? The GOP in favor of gay marriage. Think about it and give us a call or send us an email in about 10 minutes for audio open lines. Then later in the hour, we'll talk to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about two issues, statements made by Miss California about gay marriage, and a recent Ellen Goodman column on gay marriage. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Dr. Gene Rudd is Senior Vice President for the Christian Medical Association based in Bristol, Tennessee. Dr. Rudd, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
We've been hearing in a sidelong way about in vitro fertilization because the National Institutes of Health announced that there's going to be federal funding for certain embryos associated with these in vitro fertilization practices and clinics. What's the connection between embryonic stem cell research and in vitro fertilization?
Well, the connection is that many scientists see in vitro fertilization as the resource to go to get their material. The National Institutes of Health just today, or over the last couple of days, have implemented the first part of a draft document that implements an executive order in which federal funds will now be used to more specifically assist in embryonic stem cell research. Where do you get these stem cells? Well, you get them from embryos. Where do you get embryos? Well, the best source or the most available source right now is from all these in vitro fertilization clinics around the country. It's estimated that upwards to 500,000 embryos are in frozen storage in these clinics around the country, and people say, well, we want them for scientific research.
What's your reaction to the NIH's announcement?
It sort of turns my stomach. It's sort of like saying, well, you know, we've got all these human lives out there that are sort of useless to us now, so let's put them to some scientific use. It's sort of like what the Nazis said about the useless mouths that they had in their society. These are living human beings. They might be in a frozen state of animation right now, but if left to go on to develop as they should, they will be just like you and me. And when we decide to take one of those young lives and say we're going to extract some cells from that life so we can learn something, maybe there might be some good in that, but there's a lot of evil in taking that life. And even the NIH is hypocritical in this. There's a Dickey Weber amendment that's passed every year in the appropriations bill that says that federal funds can't be used to create or destroy embryos. So the NIH says, well, we're not going to give any money for anybody to destroy embryos. What we're going to do is just say, we'll give you the money once you destroy them, and then we'll let you research on the cells with the money from us, but don't use the money to kill any of them.
So describe it to us. I mean, I know that this is a very complex practice, and it requires quite a bit of very high-tech knowledge and equipment, but what in a nutshell is in vitro fertilization?
Well, it's a means of producing a new human being outside the body. In vitro means to be outside. And what you're doing is taking an egg from a female and the sperm from a male, and you're letting the fertilization process take place in a petri dish in a laboratory. And then from that fertilization, you develop an embryo, first a one cell and then up to an eight cell embryo, and then it goes on to further stages. That's the normal process. At a stage where the embryo is at about eight cells, they typically put that embryo back into the woman's body to let it develop there. The problem is that because of poor science and poor effort, scientists tend to create too many embryos, more than is needed for reproduction. And then they have all these embryos left over in frozen storage, and it's a sad commentary that we'll create that many excess lives just to get a few that we want, but that's the condition we find ourselves in.
All right. Is there a way of doing this smarter? I heard in the news very recently, I think it was Finland, trying to take a more conservative approach to how the embryos are handled or when the embryos are fertilized. I'm not exactly sure which it was, but they seem to be trying a more conservative approach. Do you know anything about this?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we've been advocating that for years, and the science is just now catching up with the ethics. If we do things in a God-honoring way, we come out better. And scientists maybe not know that at the beginning, but eventually they find that true, and this is what we've found. There's been a number of good articles out, now one just recently from Scandinavia, that shows if you implant just one embryo, you will get better success with less cost than if you do multiple embryos. And this sort of runs a front to what scientists have long thought, and that you had to put multiple embryos in there to hope to get one to take. And this is not true. Now, there is a liability in the one embryo transfer problem, in that still they're creating embryos in the petri dish and just picking the one they want and discarding the others. So there's still an embryo destruction problem that concerns me. But it is true that if you just take one embryo now and transfer one embryo, you lower the risk for pregnancy for the mother while increasing the risk for a good outcome.
Is there a way of, now that that end of the process can be done more ethically, is there a way of remedying the ethical problems in the front end of the process, namely multiple embryo creation and then discarding the quote-unquote extras?
What I've been advising patients to do for years is to only allow fertilization of the number of eggs that you're willing to implant. That means that you might take only two eggs and say, we're going to fertilize two eggs. And if only one of them takes the fertilization, we're going to implant that. If two take fertilization, we're going to implant two. And just set the limits at each step of the process to what is ethically, morally acceptable in terms of preserving life from the moment of fertilization on. You need to be committed to your genetic offspring at whatever stage, at the one-cell stage, and say, we're going to be committed to our genetic offspring, and we're only going to produce the number of embryos we're willing to implant.
I'm wondering whether or not there's an ethical problem with this, as you mentioned it before, kind of indefinite period of cryogenic suspension that these embryos are kept in. I mean, they can be kept there, I guess, theoretically for years or decades. And someone would say, well, that's better than discarding them or better than doing research on them. What are your thoughts there?
It's better to be committed to the lives that you create and give them the best opportunity to live. The longer that an embryo is in frozen storage, the less likely it's going to come out of that. Over years of time, there is degradation of the cells. Freezing doesn't ultimately stop that. So you are reducing the prospects for life when you freeze an embryo too long.
Did we proceed too quickly? When the technology became useful to us, did we proceed too quickly into uncharted ethical territory in vitro fertilization?
We proceeded too quickly because there was no attention given to the ethical boundaries. We could have gotten here much more quickly if we had attended to the ethical boundaries and then not done the atrocities that we've done with early human life by overcreating and destroying. So, yes, we proceeded too quickly. Science tends to do that. Scientists aren't always people of moral value or ethics, and they tend to want to do whatever they can do, not what necessarily they should be doing and or should not be doing. So the culture, the society has to come around and say, no, this is not appropriate. You should not be doing these things, and we're not going to fund you or allow you to do it by law. And I think when we do that as a culture, we will ultimately get a better result in a quicker period of time.
With only 20 seconds, what should be done with the, I mean, some estimate 100 to 500,000 frozen embryos in vitro fertilization clinics around the country?
We need to make every effort possible to see that those embryos find a mother who will birth them. And we have been part of starting the National Embryo Donation Center, and we've had huge success, far greater success than the science would predict, in getting those embryos donated to women who will give them birth.
Folks, you'll find a link to the Christian Medical Association under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Gene Rudd is Senior Vice President for the Christian Medical Association based in Bristol, Tennessee. Dr. Rudd, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
When we come back from this break, I got a question for you. You know, there have been some rumblings within the GOP, within the Republican Party, that gay marriage is a loser issue. They need to get on board, and gay marriage needs to be part of the agenda for the Republican Party, too. Is that a deal breaker for you? If you consider yourself a Republican or associated with the GOP, would you leave the party if they approved of gay marriage? That's my question for you. Audio Open Lines is next.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We at NewReformationPress.com are committed to providing a hand-picked selection of books and teaching materials that educate, inform, and entertain while relentlessly focusing on the gospel. Discover our growing library of resources by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn radio program, including his powerful address, The Gospel for Those Broken by the Church, or Bible in an Hour by Pastor Wade Butler. And be sure not to miss our selection of t-shirts, gifts, and artwork. NewReformationPress.com. Finally, Reformation theology made accessible.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. the Issues Etc. 300.